13. Chaperone. I ask only that you read or listen to these words. From Oathbringer. Preface. Shallan breathed out stormlight and stepped through it, feeling it envelop her, transform her. She'd been moved upon request to Sabariel's section of Urethiru, in part because he'd promised her a room with a balcony, fresh air, and a view of the mountain peaks. If she couldn't be completely free of this building's shadowed depths, then at least she could have a home on the borders. She pulled at her hair, pleased to see it had turned black. She had become Veil, a disguise she'd been working on for some time. Shallan held up hands that were calloused and worked, even the safe hand. Not that Veil was unfeminine. She kept her nails filed and liked to dress nicely, keep her hair brushed. She simply didn't have time for frivolities. A good sturdy coat and trousers suited Veil better than a flowing hava, and she had no time for an extended sleeve covering her safe hand. She'd wear a glove, thank you very much. At the moment she was dressed in her nightgown. She'd change later, once she was ready to sneak out into Urethiru's halls. She needed some practice first. Though she felt bad about the use of stormlight when everyone else was scrimping, Dalinar had told her to train with her powers. She strode through her chamber, adopting Vale's gait. Confident and sturdy, never prim. You couldn't balance a book on Vale's head as she walked, but she'd happily balance one on your face after she knocked you unconscious. She circled the room several times, crossing the patch of evening light from the window. Her room was ornamented by bright circular patterns of strata on the walls. The stone was smooth to the touch, and a knife couldn't scratch it. There wasn't much furniture, though Shallan was hopeful that the latest scavenging expeditions to the war camps would return with something she could appropriate from Sabariel. For now, she did what she could with some blankets, a single stool, and, blessedly, a hand mirror. She'd hung it on the wall, tied to a stone knob that she assumed was for hanging pictures. She checked her face in the mirror. She wanted to get to the point where she could become Veil at a moment's notice, without needing to review sketches. She prodded at her features, but of course, as the more angular nose and pronounced forehead were a result of light weaving, she couldn't feel them. When she frowned, Vale's face mimicked the motion perfectly. "Something to drink, please," she said. "No, rougher. Drink. Now." "Too strong?" Pattern said. "The voice becomes a good lie."
"Thank you. I've been working on sounds."
Vale's voice was deeper than Shallan's, rougher. She started to wonder how far could she go in changing how things sounded. For now, she wasn't sure she'd gotten the lips right in the illusion. She sauntered over to her art supplies and flipped open her sketchbook, looking for renditions of Veil she'd drawn instead of going to dinner with Sabariel and Palona. The first page of the sketchbook was of the corridor with the twisting strata she'd passed through the other day, lines of madness curling toward darkness. She flipped to the next, a picture of one of the tower's budding markets. Thousands of merchants, washwomen, prostitutes, innkeepers, and craftsmen of all varieties were setting up in Urethiru. Shallan knew well how many. She'd been the one to bring them all through the Oath Gate. In her sketch, the black upper reaches of the large market cavern loomed over tiny figures scurrying between tents, holding fragile lights. The next was another tunnel into darkness, and the next, then a room where the strata coiled about one another in a mesmerizing manner. She hadn't realized she'd done so many. She flipped 20 pages before she found her sketches of Veil. Yes, the lips were right. The build was wrong, however. Veil had a lean strength, and that wasn't coming through in the nightgown. It looked too much like Shallan's figure beneath. Someone knocked on the wooden plate hung outside her rooms. She had just a cloth draping the doorway right now. Many of the tower's doors had warped over the years. Hers had been ripped out, and she was still waiting on a replacement. The one knocking would be Polona, who had once again noticed that Shallan had skipped dinner. Shallan sucked in a breath, destroying the image of Vale, recovering some of the stormlight from her light weaving. "Come," she said. Honestly, it didn't seem to matter to Polona that Shallan was a storming knight radiant now. She'd still mother her all the... Adolin stepped in, carrying a large plate of food in one hand, some books under the other arm. He saw her and stumbled, nearly dropping it all. Shallan froze, then yelped and tucked her bare safe hand behind her back. Adolin didn't even have the decency to blush at finding her practically naked. He balanced the food in his hand, recovering from his stumble, and then grinned. "Out!" Shallan said, waving her free hand at him. "Out, out, out!" He backed away awkwardly, threw the draped cloth over the doorway. "Stormfather." Shallan's blush was probably so bright they could have used her as a signal to send the army to war. She pulled on a glove, then wrapped that in a safe pouch, then threw on the blue dress she had draped over the back of her chair and did up the sleeve. She didn't have the presence of mind to pull on her bodice vest first. Not that she really needed one anyway. She kicked it under a blanket instead. "In my defense," Adolin said from outside, "you did invite me in." "I thought you were Polona," Shallan said, doing up the buttons on the side of her dress, which proved difficult, with three layers covering her safe hand. "You know, you could check to see who is at your door."
"Don't make this my fault," Shallan said. "You're the one slipping into young ladies' bedrooms practically unannounced."
"I knocked."
"The knock was feminine."
"It was Shallan."
"Did you knock with one hand or two?"
"I'm carrying a storming platter of food. For you, by the way. Of course the knock was one-handed. And seriously, who knocks with two?"
"It was quite feminine, then. I'd have thought that imitating a woman to catch a glimpse of a young lady in her undergarments was beneath you, Adolin Cullen."
"Oh, for damnation's sake, Shallan. Can I come in now? And just so we're clear, I'm a man, and you're betrothed. My name is Adolin Cullen. I was born under the sign of the Nine. I have a birthmark on the back of my left thigh, and I had crab curry for breakfast. Anything else you need to know?"
She poked her head out, pulling the cloth tight around her neck.
"Back of your left thigh, eh? What's a girl got to do to sneak a glimpse of that?"
"Knock like a man, apparently."
She gave him a grin.
"Just a sec. This dress is being a pain."
She ducked back into the room.
"Yes, yes, take your time. I'm not standing out here holding a heavy platter of food, smelling it after having skipped dinner so I could dine with you."
"It's good for you," Shallan said. "Builds strength or something. Isn't that the sort of thing you do? Strangle rocks, stand on your head, throw boulders around?"
"Yes, I have quite my share of murdered rocks stuffed under my bed."
Shallan grabbed her dress with her teeth at the neck to pull it tight, helping with the buttons. "Maybe."
"What is it with women and their undergarments, anyway?" Adolin said,
the platter clinking as some of the plates slid against one another.
"I mean, that shift covers basically the same parts as a formal dress."
"It's the decency of it," Shallan said around a mouthful of fabric. "Besides, certain things have a tendency to poke out through a shift."
"Still seems arbitrary to me."
"Oh, and men aren't arbitrary about clothing? A uniform is basically the same as any other coat, right? Besides, aren't you the one who spends his afternoons searching through fashion folios?"
He chuckled and started a reply, but Shallan, finally dressed, swept back the sheet on her doorway.
Adolin stood up from leaning against the wall of the corridor and took her in. Frazzled hair, dress that she had missed two buttons on, cheeks flushed. Then he grinned a dopey grin. Ash's eyes. He actually thought she was pretty. This wonderful, princely man actually liked being with her. She'd traveled to the ancient city of the Knights Radiant, but compared to Adolin's affection, all the sights of Urethiru were dun spheres. He liked her, and he brought her food. Do not find a way to screw this up, Shallan thought to herself as she took the books from under his arm. She stepped aside, letting him enter and set the platter on the floor.
Polona said you hadn't eaten, he said, and then she found out I'd skipped dinner,
So she sent you with a lot, Shallan said, inspecting the platter piled high with dishes, flatbreads, and shell food.
Yeah,
Adolin said, standing and scratching at his head.
I think it's a Herdazian thing.
Shallan hadn't realized how hungry she was. She'd been intending to get something at one of the taverns later tonight while prowling about wearing Vale's face. Those taverns had set up in the main market, despite Navani's attempts to send them elsewhere, and Sabariel's merchants had quite the stock to sell. Now that this was all before her, well, she didn't worry much about decorum as she settled down on the ground and started to spoon herself up a thin, watery curry with vegetables. Adolin remained standing. He did look sharp in that blue uniform, though admittedly she'd never really seen him in anything else. Birthmark on the thigh, eh? You'll have to sit on the ground, Shallan said. No chairs yet.
I just realized, he said. This is your bedroom.
And my drawing room and my sitting room and my dining room and my Adolin says obvious things room. It's quite versatile, this room. Singular. Of mine. Why?
I'm just wondering if it's proper, he said.
Then actually blushed, which was adorable.
For us to be in here alone.
Now you're worried about propriety?
Well, I did recently get lectured about it.
That wasn't a lecture, Shallan said, taking a bite of food. The succulent tastes overwhelmed her mouth, bringing on that delightful sharp pain and mixing of flavor that you only got from the first bite of something sweet. She closed her eyes and smiled, savoring it.
So, not a lecture? Adolin said. Was there to be more to that quip?
Sorry, she said, opening her eyes. It wasn't a lecture. It was a creative application of my tongue to keep you distracted. Looking at his lips, she could think of some other creative applications for her tongue.
Right. She took a deep breath.
It would be inappropriate, Shallan said, if we were alone. Fortunately, we are not.
Your ego doesn't count as a separate individual, Shallan.
Ha, wait. You think I have an ego?
It just sounded good. I don't mean... Not that. Why are you grinning?
Sorry, Shallan said, making two fists before herself and shivering in glee. She'd spent so long feeling timid, it was so satisfying to hear a reference to her confidence. It was working! Yasna's teaching about practicing and acting like she was in control.
It was working!
Well, except for that whole part about having to admit to herself that she'd killed her mother. As soon as she thought of it, she instinctively tried to shove the memory away, but it wouldn't budge. She'd spoken it to Pattern as a truth, which were the odd ideals of the Lightweavers. It was stuck in her mind, and every time she thought about it, the gaping wound flared up with pain again. Shallan had killed her mother. Her father had covered it up, pretended he'd murdered his wife, and the event had destroyed his life, driving him to anger and destruction. Until eventually Shallan had killed him too.
Shallan? Adolin asked. Are you well?
No.
Sure, fine. Anyway, we aren't alone. Pattern, come here, please.
She held out her hand, palm up.
He reluctantly moved down from the wall where he'd been watching. As always, he made a ripple in whatever he crossed, be it cloth or stone, like there was something under the surface. His complex, fluctuating pattern of lines was always changing, melding, vaguely circular, but with surprising tangents. He crossed up her dress and onto her hand, then split out from beneath her skin and rose into the air, expanding fully into three dimensions. He hovered there, a black, eye-bending network of shifting lines, some patterns shrinking while others expanded, rippling across his surface like a field of moving grass. She would not hate him. She could hate the sword she'd used to kill her mother, but not him. She managed to push aside the pain for now, not forgetting it, but hopefully not letting it spoil her time with Adolin. "Prince Adolin," Shallan said, "I believe you've heard my spren's voice before. Let me introduce you formally. This is Pattern."
Adolin knelt, reverent, and stared at the mesmerizing geometries.
Shallan didn't blame him. She'd lost herself more than once in that network of lines and shapes that almost seemed to repeat, but never quite did.
"Your spren," Adolin said. "A Shallan spren."
Pattern sniffed in annoyance at that. "He's called a cryptic," she said. "Every order of radiant bonds a different variety of spren, and that bond lets me do what I do."
"Craft illusions," Adolin said softly. "Like that one with the map the other day."
Shallan smiled, and, realizing she had just a smidge of stormlight left from her illusion earlier, was unable to resist showing off. She raised her sleeved safe hand and breathed out, sending a shimmering patch of stormlight above the blue cloth. It formed into a small image of Adolin from her sketches of him in his shard plate. This one remained frozen, shard blade on his shoulder, faceplate up, like a little doll.
"This is an incredible talent, Shallan," Adolin said, poking at the version of himself, which fuzzed, offering no resistance. He paused, then poked at Pattern, who shied back.
"Why do you insist on hiding this, pretending that you're a different order than you are?"
"Well," she said, thinking fast, and closing her hand, dismissing the image of Adolin. "I just think it might give us an edge. Sometimes secrets are important."
Adolin nodded slowly.
"Yeah. Yeah, they are."
"Anyway," Shallan said, "Pattern, you're to be our chaperone tonight."
"What?" Pattern said with a hum. "Is a chaperone?"
"That is someone who watches two young people when they are together to make certain they don't do anything inappropriate."
"Inappropriate?" Pattern said. "Such as dividing by zero?"
"What?" Shallan asked, looking to Adolin, who shrugged. "Look, just keep an eye on us. It will be all right." Pattern hummed, melting down into his two-dimensional form and taking up residence on the side of a bowl. He seemed content there, like a kremling snuggled into its crack. Unable to wait any longer, Shallan dug into her meal. Adolin settled down across from her and attacked his own food. For a time, Shallan ignored her pain and savored the moment. Good food, good company, the setting sun casting ruby and topaz light across the mountains and into the room. She felt like drawing this scene, but knew it was the type of moment she couldn't capture on a page. It wasn't about content or composition, but the pleasure of living. The trick to happiness wasn't in freezing every momentary pleasure and clinging to each one,
but in ensuring one's life would produce many future moments to anticipate. Adolin, after finishing an entire plate of Stranahaspers steamed in the shell, picked out a few chunks of pork from a creamy red curry, then put them on a plate and handed them in her direction.
"Want to try a bite?"
Shallan made a gagging noise.
"Come on," he said, wagging the plate. "It's delicious."
"It would burn my lips off, Adolin Colin," Shallan said. "Don't think I didn't notice you picking the absolute spiciest concoction Polona sent. Men's food is dreadful. How can you taste anything beneath all that spice?"
"Keeps it from being bland," Adolin said, stabbing one of the chunks and popping it in his mouth. "There's nobody here but us. You can try it."
She eyed it, remembering the times as a child when she'd sneaked tastes of men's food, though not this specific dish. Pattern buzzed.
"Is this the inappropriate thing I'm supposed to stop you from doing?"
"No," Shallan said, and Pattern settled back down. Perhaps a chaperone, she thought, who believes basically everything I tell him isn't going to be the most effective. Still, with a sigh, she grabbed a chunk of the pork and some flatbread. She had left Yakoved hunting new experiences, after all. She tried a bite and was given immediate reason to regret her decisions in life. Eyes brimming with tears, she scrambled for the cup of water Adolin insufferably had picked up to hand toward her. She gulped that down, though it didn't seem to do anything. She followed it by wiping her tongue with a napkin, in the most feminine way possible, of course. "I hate you," she said, drinking his water next. Adolin chuckled.
"Oh,"
Pattern said suddenly, bursting up from the bowl to hover in the air.
"You were talking about mating. I'm to make sure you don't accidentally mate, as mating is forbidden by human society until you have first performed appropriate rituals." "Yes, yes. Dictates of custom require following certain patterns before you copulate. I've been studying this."
"Oh, Stormfather," Shallan said, covering her eyes with her free hand. A few shame-spren even peeked in for a glimpse before vanishing. Twice in 1 week.
"Very well, you two," Pattern said. "No mating. No mating."
He hummed to himself as if pleased, then sank down onto a plate.
"Well, that was humiliating," Shallan said. "Can we maybe talk about those books you brought? Or ancient Vorin theology? Or strategies for counting grains of sand? Anything other than what just happened, please?"
Adolin chuckled, then reached for a slim notebook that was on top of the pile.
"May Aladar sent teams to question Vedekar Peril's family and friends. They discovered where he was before he died, who last saw him, and wrote down anything suspicious. I thought we could read the report."
"And the rest of the books?"
"You seemed lost when Father asked you about Makabaki politics," Adolin said, pouring some wine, merely a soft yellow. "So I asked around, and it seems that some of the Ardents hauled their entire libraries out here. I was able to get a servant to locate you a few books I'd enjoyed on the Makabaki."
"Books?"
Shallan said.
"You?"
"I don't spend all my time hitting people with swords, Shallan," Adolin said. "Yasna and Aunt Navani made very certain that my youth was filled with interminable periods spent listening to Ardents lecture me on politics and trade. Some of it stuck in my brain, against my natural inclinations. Those three books are the best of the ones I remember having read to me, though the last one is an updated version. I thought it might help."
"That's thoughtful," she said. "Really, Adolin. Thank you."
"I figured, you know, if we're going to move forward with the betrothal."
"Why wouldn't we?"
Shallan said, suddenly panicked.
"I don't know. You're a radiant, Shallan.
some kind of half-divine being from mythology. And all along I was thinking we were giving you a favorable match.
He stood up and started pacing.
Damnation. I didn't mean to say it like that. I'm sorry. I keep worrying that I'm going to screw this up somehow.
You worry you're going to screw it up? Shallan said, feeling a warmth inside that wasn't completely due to the wine.
I'm not good with relationships, Shallan.
Is there anyone who actually is? I mean, is there really someone out there who looks at relationships and thinks, you know what, I've got this? Personally, I rather think we're all collectively idiots about it.
It's worse for me.
Adeline, dear, the last man I had a romantic interest in was not only an ardent, forbidden to court me in the first place, but also turned out to be an assassin who was merely trying to obtain my favor so he could get close to Jasnah. I think you overestimate everyone else's capability in this regard.
He stopped pacing. An assassin?
Seriously, Shallan said. He almost killed me with a loaf of poisoned bread.
Wow. I have to hear this story.
Fortunately, I just told it to you. His name was Capsal, and he was so incredibly sweet to me that I can almost forgive him for trying to kill me.
Adeline grinned. Well, it's nice to hear that I don't have a high bar to jump. All I have to do is not poison you.
Though you shouldn't be telling me about past lovers. You'll make me jealous. Please, Shallan said, dipping her bread in some leftover sweet curry. Her tongue still hadn't recovered. You've courted like half the war camps.
It's not that bad.
Isn't it? From what I hear, I'd have to go to Herdaz to find an eligible woman you haven't pursued. She held out her hand to him to help her to her feet.
Are you mocking my failings?
No, I'm lauding them, she said, standing up beside him. You see, Adeline, dear, if you hadn't wrecked all those other relationships, you wouldn't be here, with me. She pulled close. And so, in reality, you're the greatest at relationships there ever was. You ruined only the wrong ones, you see. He leaned down. His breath smelled of spices. His uniform of the crisp, clean starch Dalinar required. His lips touched hers, and her heart fluttered. So warm.
No mating!
She started, pulling out of the kiss-defined pattern hovering beside them, pulsing quickly through shapes. Adeline bellowed a laugh, and Shallan couldn't help joining in at the ridiculousness of it. She stepped back from him, but kept hold on his hand. Neither of us is going to mess this up, she said to him, squeezing his hand. Despite what might at times seem like our best efforts otherwise.
Promise? He asked.
I promise. Let's look at this notebook of yours and see what it says about our murderer.